folks. It's Rich Birch here from Cameo. I hope you're doing well today. Honored that you would listen in on today's conversation. I'm excited to introduce you to Jordan Mason. He's a coach and a counselor. If you've been journeying with us for a while, you might be aware that Jordan actually helps us in the summertime. He comes on site with us, provides some support and care for our summer staff. And I really appreciate Jordan. I think he's a great leader. But today we've asked him to come and kind of help us as we're all wrestling with the fact that we're not going to have summer camp this summer. And so I wanted to kind of tap his brain a little bit and his care. So Jordan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Rich. I'm so glad to be here with everyone and to sort of walk through this journey with you.
Yeah, why don't we start with you kind of giving people a little bit of sense of who you are? Who is Jordan and how do you find yourself, you know, as a coach, counselor? What does that look like? What do those words even mean? You know, give us a sense of what that looks like.
Yeah, so who am I? I am in this boat with you. I'm a dad of a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, first and foremost. And so I'm walking right along with you and telling my daughter that there won't be camp this summer and that she won't be able to go. And before I got into being a counselor and a coach, I worked for almost 10 years as a student pastor for a number of years, but now really decided to move into helping people at a deeper level, really helping people with develop skills and work through the things in their life just so that they can see freedom as they take steps towards a greater place from where they want to be in their lives, both in discovering Jesus inside the faith world and outside of the faith world, but really helping people thrive in their everyday life and overcome the obstacles that they're facing that they just feel so often stuck in. So really trying to help people get out of that unstuck feeling in that way.
Yeah, that's great. You know, friends that are listening in, you know, Jordan is a trusted friend. He, you know, we're just so honored that he journeys with us. And, you know, as we were kind of facing this transition here, I thought it'd be great for us to kind of just have a bit of a conversation to try to help you as you're, you know, working with your own kids. What I was wondering, Jordan, if we could kind of talk through some scenarios. So kind of I'll give you a bit of a scenario of maybe a family who's listening in. And, you know, what kind of advice, what kind of coaching would you give to them? So, the first one is maybe, and we know this is true. There are, some families out there who haven't told their kids yet, who haven't, you know, haven't talked through, but the fact that, you know, here's another loss for you this year, a young child. What would you say to those parents? What should we be thinking about as we're talking with our kids, about the fact that they're, you know, they're not going to be able to go to camp this summer?
Yeah, that's a great one. My hand goes up with that one. I actually, at the time of recording this, have not told my daughter yet that she can't go there. And actually, the reason I haven't is one of the big pieces of advice I'll give you is because I'm just not ready yet. Not that I am not ready to tell her. It's just, to be honest, I don't have the mental and emotional capacity yet and the space in my day and life to sit down with her and have that conversation in a way where I can really be there for her. And so, to help her process this next loss, because, you know, at 6, almost 7, she's not ready. And even really all the way up into her teenage years, she's not ready to process that loss by herself yet. And so she needs my help and support to do that. And so I want to make sure that, and we as parents want to make sure that we have that space in our lives. So, you know, if you're trying to parent and homeschool and work all at the same time, and you've got little bits of windows at the evening, but you're already exhausted, it might be better to wait to the weekend or wait a week.
And
to do that in a space that where you can really, you know, share with them. You want to use clear language. You want to let them know, you know, that camp won't be happening. You don't want to, in this case, you don't want to leave the glimmer of hope. Yet at the same time, you know, at the same time, we have to give them hope for, just life in general. Because one of the things is, you know, these kids have experienced so much loss of friends and school and volleyball and sports and now and graduation. And now for some of them, you know, they were holding it for camp. Well, maybe at least I'll get camp. And, you know, just as they grow and develop, just from a developmental point, it's sometimes hard for them to hold out hope for the future. They can't see that it will get better. And so we as parents have to sort of be able to help lead them in that and to be able to say, hey, I know this is hard and I know this is another thing, but we do have hope that it will be better. It won't be like this forever. And in talking through that, those sort of pieces of support, one of the biggest things too is, you know, as we tell them is we want to make sure that we leave space to let them know that any and every reaction is an okay one. What I tell people is whatever reaction you have is a normal reaction for you. There is no abnormal reaction. Based on who you are, what you've experienced, and what you've been experiencing, you know, these past 2.5 months, your reaction is normal for you. And so we want to, why we want to have that space to sit with kids as we do tell them and use clear language, in that way, and be able to have the space to answer their questions and walk with them through that.
Yeah, I love that. I think there's like some really good practical stuff there. You know, even the idea of like, hey, let's plan this. Let's set it out in our own minds. When's a good time? When's a spot where we're energized? It's not, you know, it's not the end of a long day after you've been depleted. I know I feel that at the end of the day for sure after one more Zoom call. And then this idea of clear language, I think, is really good. Now as an organization, we're trying to do some things to help support families. We're doing, we do this Camper magazine thing. We're sending that to everybody. And that is hopefully landing here early June. And that's really to try to help kids. And we're going to do a bunch of fun stuff this summertime. None of that is really designed to replace camp. It's really just supposed to be a bridge, a little bit of like to remind kids of the fun. And we're pretty excited about it. We think it's going to be great, but it won't really replace that. How would you suggest we kind of deal with that reality of like, yeah, like what kind of language should we use? You know, whatever we end up doing this summer won't necessarily feel like what it's like to go to camp, but it still will be good. Any thoughts on how to kind of message that to our kids?
Yeah, we for sure don't want to use just as good. It's not the same thing. We know that. There's a reason we're sick of Zoom calls. There's a reason it's not just as good to sit with our friends and play a game on Zoom as it is to sit in a room around a table in community with people. You know, there's a reason that it doesn't feel the same. And it's not just as good, just practically. and it's not the same. And so not using the same. And so I think one of the biggest things sort of language wise is, you know, letting the loss of the one thing happen. You know, we have, we've lost camp as what it is. And then beginning to, as those feelings have sort of set in, shifting towards this idea of, man, how great and how grateful can we be that camp is, that the camp I go to is so amazing that even in the midst of everything that's happening around the world, they're trying to create experiences for us to have even a little glimpse of what camp is like this summer. And so it's sort of reinvesting in what it is. It's not trying to make what is going to be what was, if that makes sense, but it's really about helping them see, wow, we're so grateful that we do at least get a part of this. You know, so many other things have been ripped away from us altogether. And we're grateful to get to have at least this in a small part and really engaging and saying, hey, you know, this is what we are going to make of it. And I think that's probably, that's probably been a mantra, whether spoken or not, for a lot of people. At a certain point, we all have hard days and bad days. But when we decide a day is going to be a good day, we generally have been able in this season to create a good day for ourselves and to do the things. And we're kind to ourselves and do those things. And so, you know, we don't want to let the grief and sadness of the loss of, you know, camp at the physical property and the physical location miss out on the great experience that we do get this summer in how Minu is pivoting to be able to have fun and to invest in families that way.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. You know, and this idea of not, this has been helpful for me even because I think, and maybe I'm just stereotypical, but I can see in myself a tendency to just want to move on past the emotions, right? Like, let's just, but I love that coaching of just like, hey, you know, actually let your kids feel that emotion and then and let that happen. And then move to kind of hope beyond that. That's really good.
Yeah. Don't let them sit there in it. You know, like to feel the feelings, there's a great resource. If you Google, it's called Feelings Wheel. If you just Google Feelings Wheel, it'll come up. But help share some of your feelings. Help share with them what you're feeling and help them put names and words to what's sort of happening inside of them. And then help them move to a new place. Cool.
Yeah, I love that. Even finding you can just print them off a feelings wheel and, you know, pointing to kids, hey, this could make you feel a number of different ways, right? Maybe it's loss, maybe it's, you know, anger. It's, that's cool. I love that. That's a great tool. Good stuff. Well, maybe a slightly different scenario. So maybe we've already told our kids or they found out, you know, like if your kids are a little bit older than your kids, we tried not to like blare it online. We had to do some stuff online, but, we tried to do it in a way that parents could control that, but we know that there's some kids that just found out or we've told them and maybe they aren't doing well. It's like, it's, you know, you'd said this earlier. It's like they lost volleyball. They lost all these other things. And then there's this thing. And it just seems to be like, man, my kid is in a funk and I do not know what to do. How can we help them, in that moment?
Yeah. That's so great. You know, in that moment, really the advice is similar is, you want to be able to sit with them in the emotions and you want to be able to help them name what's going on for them and what they're feeling. And then begin to help point them to something new and begin to help ask them for themselves and teach them for themselves, you know, what they need. Do you need a hug? Do you need me to help you physically regulate your body? You know, do you want to go for a walk in the sun with me? You know, do you want to bake? Do you want to read? Do you want to sit together? And helping kids sort of reinvest in what is available. You know, normally we would say, like, point them back to what's normal. But the problem is nothing's really normal now.
Right.
you know, and they're probably asking questions too, like, why now? You know, why already in May are they saying I can't go to camp in August? You know, and so I think one of the other things probably to expect, you know, if you, I just say this because I'm a parent who likes to be a little bit prepared sometimes, but, you know, if you have a kid who's having a hard time now, if your child is having a hard time now, and you help them through it, I kind of have good news, bad news. That's probably not the end. You know, there'll probably be another wave of that loss when school's over and then they realize again, oh yeah, this is supposed to be summer and I'm not going to camp. And then they might have it again when, you know, they might have it again when it was supposed to be their week at camp. And they might have it again when they just realize I don't have any of the memories at camp. And it might come and go in waves and moments. And it's not really a conversation that will just kind of happen all at once and we'll help them realize they won't have camp anymore.
Well, that's done. Yeah, exactly.
You know, there won't be camp anymore and that's all done and we worked through it. You know, it will probably come in waves and seasons for them. And so really practically, you know, I think you probably want to help them also create lasting mementos of hard things. So, you know, create memories of what it was to look back. You know, you want them to create, especially for older kids, begin to create, how do we create memories and moments that remind me of this year of camp? Because this year of camp is actually really special. It's a year of camp that no one in 74 years has ever experienced.
True. Yes.
And so it's different, you know, but trying to create sort of some of those memories and some of those moments. And I know you guys are going to help create memories and moments and connections in different ways this year too. But
And that's very much underneath a lot of the planning we're doing with the programming we're doing this summer. You know, there's a calendar to put up on a kid's wall where we have like special t-shirts and we did, you know, these bandanas. We normally don't do bandanas, but like when this was kind of brewing over the last few weeks, I'm like, everybody's going to need masks. And so why don't we get bandanas for everybody? And, you know, we're going to do photo stuff to try to encourage kids. Like, hey, this is something fun. Like this is, you know, trying to help parents with all this stuff rather than, you know, that hinder it. That's a good thing for sure.
Yeah. And it's one of those things to sort of help and hinder. And what I would say to parents is don't worry, you know, don't worry in the sense of, you know, there's so much happening in our kids' lives right now. You know, and our ebbs and flows go through ups and downs, you know, if behavior seems out of character for your kids or, you know, eating too much, eating too little, sleeping too much, you know, or maybe their behavior's a little bit reckless, or, you know, my son, how his grief and loss and anxiety and lack of normal presents is he gets aggressive. He's just been real aggressive the past 2 days. Yeah. And, you know, so practically that means I'm not aggressive back with him, but when he gets aggressive, he likes to be touched. So, you know, we'll wrestle and we'll channel that. And he likes to be hugged and held, or we'll read together, or, you know, being close. And so helping kids in the midst of those feelings, you know, and it can be really hard for us as parents. This is just like practical. Me as a dad, less as a counselor, of like, I am tired too. And it can be so hard when, you know, the problem is all the feelings our kids are having and all the struggles they're having, just like us, you know, we're having struggles. Mm-hmm. They generally come out as, you know, what would probably be considered by most of us as less than desirable behaviors in our kids. And right. So, you know, at the end of the day, when we're tired and we've had all these things, and then our kids are having these less than desirable behaviors, like, that can be really difficult as parents, absolutely, to have the energy to not necessarily get upset by them, but to use them as clues to say, oh man, something's really off in their world. How can I help them figure out what it is? They might not even know what it is. Right. Most of the time. And so, you know, that's part of our role as parents, is to help them figure out and just ask questions. Hey, you can use a bunch of feeling words. Are you feeling all these things? Is there something you need? Is there something you want to do to help them sort of begin to regulate themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good, I love that lens of like, hey, if things are a little bit off, that could actually be, you know, really your kid grieving. You know, that could be the, you know, kind of what's happening, rather than they're just being, you know, whatever, insert whatever word you want to use. You know, they're actually just wrestling with it. Maybe just as we kind of pivot here towards the end, maybe the last profile would be summer staff families. So families who, you know, their kids were going to be on our staff. We had a few hundred kids that were going to be with us this summer, young leaders who, you know, our mission at MiniOA is to develop tomorrow's leaders through life-changing events here in God's creation. We really are, in a very real way, we run a kids camp so we can develop young leaders. And, you know, what would you say to a family who's, you know, considering their child and was supposed to be on our staff this summer, and frankly, it seems like the motivation's dropped out of the bottom. You know, they're like, you know, they're just maybe a little bit older. Obviously, they're maybe 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that range. And, you know, things are just, you know, it seems to have been, now they found this out, they're just not doing well. They're not motivated. They're kind of lethargic, that sort of thing. What would you say to that family today?
Yeah, to that family, first I just want to say, and it's probably the thing I would say to them, is like, I just want to offer some empathy. Like, that's hard. Mm. You know, I remember being as a kid in a camp, you know, for so many of them, it's like their mountaintop that gets them through the rest of the year. You know, mm-hmm. If I can just get through this school year, I get to go back to camp. And I get to be there with my people and my place. And so, you know, you want to let them experience how hard that is. You know, funny enough, most of us, you know, probably are less emotionally developed than we think, you know, myself included, in lots of ways. And so, you know, when your teenager starts all of a sudden acting, you know, maybe like they're 10 or 12 at certain moments, not all the time, you know, but all of a sudden you get these moments of like, why are you pouting like you're 10? Like, you are about to be a grown up. What's happening here? You know, and just sort of remembering in those places, like, yeah, they, you know, they are hurting, and they probably don't have the same as a lot. They don't have the words or the space. And so, you know, really it's part of our development as parents to help give them the space and the words to begin to develop that, but also, you know, the space to begin to help them believe and understand that now what they're experiencing is in their control. And so, you know, letting them, there's a great model if you look up, you know, letting them experience the pain of the loss and think about what they've actually lost. Sometimes that's helpful, help them list out what they've lost. You know, the parts of camp that, you know, it's the community, it's the singing, it's the just being in, you know, it's just the being in the wilderness in Muskoka for the summer. You know, I crave to get out of the city. It's the, you know, help them work through actually what they're losing. and then help them adjust to what the reality is. And so that working through actually what they're losing, sometimes that list is very practical. Right. And, you know, even just for some of those older kids, it can be just practical to extend that to your whole life. You know, what have you lost? Like, you know, camp was the last thing on the list, but it certainly wasn't the only thing. And
right.
So really helping them, you know, clarify for themselves those things that they've lost and then begin to look at the reality. One of the biggest things I would say is, you know, they're going to need a lot of community, and we don't all quite know what that will look like yet in the summer, how much of that will be able to be in person or not. And I know many always going to continue to foster that in their team and in their staff, but it'll be important that, you know, you as parents want to check in about who are you talking to? Who are you connecting with?
Who are you hanging out with?
Who are you hanging out with? You know, really, some very wise people, it's not for me, you know, but it's all talking about the five voices your kids have in your life, you know, and at a certain point in your life, your kid isn't always going to want to bring everything to you. Your child won't always want to bring everything to you, but you got to be okay with them saying, but I am talking to someone, you know? And so you want them to know when you're seeing them off and you're saying, hey, it's okay if you're not talking to me, but can you tell me about who you are talking to? Because I don't want you to be by yourself in what you're experiencing now.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And that, you know, that idea of, you know, that's really in a normal summer. I don't know that we really ever say this expressive, you know, outward to our parents, but providing that great community for young leaders is a big part of why families choose to have their young leaders be on our staff, right? At the end of the day, it's a community that's developed there. We know those are relationships that last for a long time. And so, finding ways to encourage your young leaders to continue to stay connected to relationships. Obviously, we would love for them to stay connected to our community, but a positive, faith community will, be super important, you know, for them. Kind of as we wrap up, obviously, part of, Camp Minuhi is a Christian camp. We believe the teaching of Jesus makes a difference in people's lives. We think that if people get a clearer picture of what it means to follow Jesus, they live an other-centered life. And ultimately, it's through that we find this sense of fulfillment. You know, what would you say to, you know, families that are trying to see this as a season to help their kids grow in their faith? Cause, that is a part of what, you know, I think we're hoping for in this season, that there's, you know, maybe some tough stuff going on, but actually at the end of the day, this could be an opportunity to see our kids grow closer to Christ. Anything you'd say on that front? I know that's not the seat you normally sit in, but you know, what, give us a sense of what, you know, what you're thinking on that front, even as a parent.
Yeah, it's certainly one. I think probably two things popped in mind right away. I think the first one is this season is an incredible opportunity to expose our children and ourselves to a God who meets us in every state that we're in, to a God who meets us and who has experienced our pain. You know, if you read through the story of Jesus, you know, you see him weeping for the loss of a friend, you know, which tells me that he felt the pain of loss. And, so really it's knowing that God doesn't need you to be happy and optimistic, and that, you know, you can really allow kids to invite God into the pain or the hurt or the loss or the uncertainty that they're feeling, you know, that they don't have to, it's great to hold out faith that we know that God is in control. And that sort of leads to the second part, but you know, that God will meet them where they are, because that's what he wants. He wants to be with them. The other part about this is really, it's an interesting opportunity to really begin to expose kids to the grandness and the mystery of God in an odd sense of, and Jesus, we don't know why, you know, we don't really have the answer why, but there is something remarkably big and grand about the fact that knowing that God is somehow in control of this, and that we believe that he does have a plan in the midst of that, and that he is working, and that he can see the whole thing. And so that pause, I think those are kind of the two sort of juxtapositions. He's there in the pain, but at the same time, you know, he's a very personal God who's with us in our pain. But at the same time, he is a very powerful and grand and omnipotent God who, you know, who sees and understands all. And I think those are kind of the two things that sort of popped in my head. The personalness of Jesus and the bigness of God.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I really appreciate you being on, you know, today on this interview and helping. And, you know, we're one of the sadness for me this summer is that we won't get a chance to hang out because I always enjoy when, you know, we get a chance to have a nice coffee or something together when you're on site with our leaders. So I'm going to definitely miss that. But
I'm going to miss my office overlooking Mary Lake.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best place to do some coaching, for sure. If people want to get in touch with you, you know, they might have, this might have been like, maybe there's, you know, I'd love to follow up with you or have more conversation. How can they do that? What's the best way for them to track with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can find me at masoncounseling.com. So we are in Canada, so counseling has two L's, masoncounseling.com, or if you search Mason Counseling, M-A-S-O-N, counseling on Facebook, you'll find me there. And happy to connect and chat in any way that I can to help provide support to people if they feel like they need it.
That's great. Jordan, I really appreciate you being here today. Thanks so much. And thanks for the way that you've supported us over the years, and look forward to continuing to work together for years to come.
It is a privilege to be there every single summer in people's lives with you.